Hallelujah. God is about to release great things into your life through the undiluted word you're about to listen to. Pay attention, as this sermon will grant you deeper understanding of God's word. And now, here is the undiluted word.
No man has capacity on his own to be righteous after Adam. Once upon a time, there was just one righteous man on the earth. He was made and crafted by God himself. He and his wife became the only righteous beings that lived at the time. However, the deceiver came in and derailed them from the path of righteousness, therefore planting in them the seed of sin. At that point, God declared there is no righteous man on earth. No, not one. But thanks be to God, that was not the end of the story. Another Adam came. He was born of a woman. He satisfied the requirement of God for righteousness. And then he took the place of man in sin and was killed consequently, because the soul that sinned shall die. And death is the wages of sin. So that man came. He lived like a man, but he didn't sin. But he carried the sin of other men that sin. And for that reason, God said, kill him. The day they killed that man, God turned his face that he couldn't behold his son, because he was carrying the sin of the entire world. The death of that man called Jesus brought an end to the dominance of sin over man, and his righteousness was imputed on those who will believe in his finished work and walk in alignment with the requirement of that sacrifice. Today, we can boldly say, I'm a righteous man, but not by the works of the law, but by the finished work of Christ. If you are born again, then you can say, I am righteous. That's why we can look at sin today and say, fornication no more, lies no more, hatred no more, bitterness no more. And as soon as you say that, you receive the salvation offered to you. And there is power inside of you that the things you used to love before, when you see them, you don't love them anymore. Because something has been implanted in you. That when you lie today, you feel very uncomfortable. When you do the things that doesn't align with God, you cannot sleep until you tell God, I'm sorry. If you are in church, no matter where you sit, and you are comfortable at sin, you have not met God. No, you have not met him. Because if you have met God, the day you do something wrong, you will not be at peace until you go back to him and say, Papa, I'm sorry, I messed up. And he will say, I knew you were going to mess up, so I kept water. Wash your feet and enter the house. That's what he will say. I knew you were going to mess up. There's water here. Wash your feet. Enter the house. Let's continue from where we stopped yesterday. And then we continue, because there's a righteousness of a man that is continually making intercession for us. You are cheating yourself if you continue to stay in sin, because there is water for you to bathe. The day the prodigal son came to himself, he said, how many hired servants have my father? And I'm here suffering in hunger. I will arise and I will go back to my father. I will tell him, Father, I messed up. Just give me another opportunity. This time, not as a son. Let me be a servant. And he went back home, unknowingly to him, that even though he carried all the clothes he had when he left, the father still bought more clothes size, because the father knew that one day he will come. So when that boy returned, the father said, go to my wardrobe, bring clothes. It was not an oversized clothes, it was his size. Because the father knows that this my son will come back. I will prepare his size for him. Don't waste time in the piggery farm. Come back to your father so you can eat on the table. Sin cannot offer you what the father has to offer you. Come back to him. Yeah. Don't enjoy it. Don't enjoy it. The pleasure of sin is for a while. Oh no, it's for a while. Ask Lot's wife and she will tell you that when I looked back, I didn't continue. I stopped my journey and became an example for people to learn from. My prayer for you is that your life will not be a negative example. No, your life will not be a negative example. Can I hear somebody shout, I am a righteous man because of the righteousness of Jesus. If you believe it, shout it again. I am a righteous man by the righteousness of Jesus. Let me share with you five things that makes up a righteous man. The Lord is coming for a church that is without spot or wrinkle. What is the anatomy of the righteous man? Number one, He must carry the image of God. Go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to verse 28. Let us make man in our own image. The image of God means the glory of God, the splendor of God. So you must have the image of God. In other words, look like him. And may I say this to you, that the spiritual battle is the battle of images. In the spirit, what fight is images? That's why when you enter any native doctor's shrine, the first thing you will meet are images. You meet images, some of them skulls, some of them images of masquerade. Because the battle in the spirit is the battle of images. And that's why when God made you, he made you in the image of the supreme being. So that when you enter the battlefield of the spirit, what men will see will not be your father's face. It will be the image of the maker of the entire world. That's the fight in the spirit. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, let me show you. Give me verse 18 very quickly. The importance of images. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. So, one of the greatest content of a righteous man is the image of God. It said, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. Remember I said to you that the image of God means the glory of the Lord. He said, we are beholding the glory of the Lord. Then we are changed into what? We are changed into the same image. What you look is what you look like. If you continue to look at him, you are going to become like him. He said, beholding us in a glass, the glory of the Lord. That's why when we come to church, we don't come to look at the pastor's fashion sense. We come to behold his glory. It is an error to come and draw somebody's gown and go back to your tailor in church and say, I saw this gown in church. Why this message is going on? You'll be shocked if I go through people's notes. Some of them are writing okra, oil. Some of them are drawing people's gown. When we come to church, we come to behold his image. Don't look at my shoe. Don't even look at my grammar. Behold his image. Because when you look at him, you are changed into that same image. And it shall be from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We come to behold his glory. Everywhere you can see his glory, go there. One day Moses said, I have seen enough signs. I've seen enough wonders. I've heard enough story. I've heard enough prophecy. Show me your face. He said, Lord, show me your glory. Can I see the face of the man behind the opening of the Red Sea? Can I see the face of the man behind the manna that fell from heaven? I don't want to be satisfied only with manna, because there are believers who are satisfied at the level of manna. But you must grow from being satisfied at the level of manna. I'm beginning to see the hand that provides the manna. He says, show me your glory. That will be my story. Hallelujah. That's what my song shall be. That's what my song shall be. That's what my song shall be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what my songs will be. Oh Lord, that's what my song will be. That's what my song will be. Can you sing it one more time? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what my song. That's what my song will be. That will be my story. That's what my song will be. Oh,
that's what my song will be.
I will not tell the story of people's clothes. I will tell the story of his glory. When I come to church and leave and somebody say, how was church service? I'm not going to talk about how the music was high. I'm going to talk about how I sat down where I was sitting. And I saw the Lord seated at his temple. And the train filled the temple. Stephen was being stoned to death. He was not hearing the pain. But he said, I saw the heavens open. And I see the Son of Man seated by the right hand of the Father. What you see determines what you see. Men have not seen enough of the glory of God, and that's why they are talking the way they talk. Seek to see his glory. We behold as in a glass the glory of the Son of God. And we are changer. We are changer. We are changer. That word change is metamorphosis. A complete change from one state to another state. It's not just a transformation. We are metamorphosed into that same image. From today, as you leave church, may you not look like your father or mother. May you begin to look like your maker. Your father may not have been an handsome man. And so if you only look like him, people will call you ugly. But when you begin to behold his face, in Mark chapter 9, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and went to the mountain. And the Bible says, there he was transfigured and his countenance was altered. He didn't look like the man that came to that mountain. The Bible said the clothes he was wearing became as white as a raiment. And suddenly, Elijah came and Moses came. Lord, take me to the mountain where I will not only interact with my landlord, but I will begin to interact with the spirit of just men made perfect. Aaron will come and Moses will come and they will talk to me. When you come down from that mountain, you are no longer the same. So Moses says, show me your glory. And God said, no man has ever asked me this question. And no man has ever seen my face and live. And Moses insists, show me your glory. I will pay the price to see your glory. If it means seeing it and dying, no problem. And God said, there is a place by me. If you ask God enough, he will introduce you to a place that he never introduced to your fathers. Ask me enough. Ask me enough. The reason is because you have not insisted. You have not insisted. Moses insisted and God said, there's a place by me. Nobody knew there was such a place. He said, I will take you to that place and I will keep you there. And the only thing your eyes will see will be glory, will be goodness, will be mercy. Father, take a man, take a woman, take a family to a place where they can only see glory, where they can only see goodness, where they can only see mercy. Child of God, there is a place like that in God. There is a place where you don't see the falling dollars or the falling naira. There's a place you see is goodness. He said, I will make all my goodness to pass before you. And I will proclaim my name. And so Moses went there. God took him there. He stayed there. And the Bible said God used his right hand, covered his eyes. And then God passed. And Moses saw the back of God. And the back of God made the Moses we read about. But can I tell you the good news in our dispensation is that we are not seeing the back of God. We have seen the face of God because Jesus said, I am my Father. We are one. He that has seen the Son has also seen the Father. What a privilege. We are better than Moses and so we should do better than Moses. We have seen the face of the one Moses never saw. You must carry his image. Number two, anatomy of the righteous man is the likeness of God. And that is the character of God. I want to challenge us today. Be a Christian in word. Be a Christian in character. Let your wife, let your children, let your neighbors, let your friends, let your colleagues look at you and say, this one is a child of God. He has the character of God. Some of us, we call ourselves the children of God, but we lie like the devil. And the Bible says, he that lieth is of the devil. For the devil lieth from the beginning. And he said, when we lie, we look like our father, the devil. Hi! No truth in your mouth. No truth, no truth. And every day, you wear red beret and blue shirt. I'm not talking about you now. No truth. No truth. You must carry the character of God. Help me to be like you, Jesus. It is not difficult to be like him. No, it is not difficult to be like him. Number three, what is the makeup of the righteous man? The dominion of God. And I'm going to pray for us here. That you will not only be perfect, you will not only be pure, but you will also be powerful. God is not only holy. God is not only righteous. God is also powerful. In Genesis chapter 1, he said, let them have dominion. No longer shall this flying agent trample on you. Let them have dominion. Somebody say power. I'm talking about the makeup of a righteous man. He has a right standing with God. He has the character of God. He also has a shared dominion. So, nothing makes you afraid anymore.
You need it too. Don't be like Nathaniel. The Bible says Jesus told Nathaniel, he said, this is a Nazareth without a guilt. There is no iota of unholiness in him. But that is all we heard about Nathaniel. He didn't raise one sick person. He didn't open the eyes of the blind. Pure but powerless. Because when men don't understand their place, they die like mere men. You are not only expected to be holy, you are also expected to be powerful. From today, may the Lord impute power in your life. That a witchcraft that is on IT will not put you under the bed. In the night, you slept on your bed and woke up in the morning. You are wondering who brought you on the floor. What brought you down? One small witch. And guess what? You have been in church 15 years. And a witch that just started 3 months ago. 3 months ago, the witch just started. She's still practicing witchcraft. And they use you as a specimen. I say, go to that man. She will come and draw mark on your body. And you wake up and say, they have drawn mark. May you come to that point where he that touches you is touching God. Yeah. That when they keep that poison on the ground, you match it. Even though if it was not for you, the person that they kept it for will be lucky because you are the first person that matched it. Yeah. My prayer for you is that the shrine they will take you to, let the presence of God be waiting on your behalf. Where they will carry your picture to, let the hand of the Lord be there on your behalf. Because men are wicked. The Bible said, beloved, we are of God, but the entire world lieth in wickedness. If you are not powerful, let there be somebody that is powerful around you. Otherwise, they will mess you up. Or they will mess you up. Or they will put you inside a key and lock you, and you don't know why nothing is working around you. Your life is inside the key. I stand on this altar today. Paraventure, there is anyone here whose picture is in the river, whose image is on a shrine, whose cloth is anywhere, and they are using us as a manipulation against you. The Bible said he has given me power and authority to tread upon serpents and upon scorpions. I leverage on the dominion given to me by God, and I declare you are free now. If you are a man, it's louder. Receive your freedom. Raka parataya.
Beloved, thank you for taking time to listen to God's word. We trust you've been blessed. This message was brought to you by Pentecostal Deliverance Church, located at 65 Stadium Road, opposite Mummy B Junction, Rumomasi, Port Harcourt. You can get our Sincere Milk Devotional and Believer's Training Class Manual and other inspiring and life-transforming audio messages from our church book stand located in the church premises or through our website www.pdconline247.com. Furthermore, our church activity schedule is as follows. Monday and Thursday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. counseling. Wednesday, 6 p.m. School of Wisdom. Friday, 6 p.m. prayer meeting. Sunday, 8 a.m. lifting service. If you would like to reach us via call, our helplines are 080-3389-0315 and 080-6935-5639. God bless you.